It's a Wednesday, as we always do. We visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com, and Brian is with me every single Wednesday during the season and in the off season. And it's the what's Thanksgiving Eve, Brian? How are you? And happy Thanksgiving to you.
Same to you, Dan. And it's always a great time of year to be festive with family and friends, although more on a limited basis, obviously. But even during these times, there's still baseball news to talk about.
There is some baseball news. A lot of it has to do with things that aren't going on with the season right now in 2020 leading into 2021. But I do have a question about the Hall of Fame. I'm so curious about the perspective of those that cover the game, their thoughts on the Hall of Fame. Where are you right now with some of these guys, like a Curt Schilling, the steroid guys, Scott Rolen moving up, those kind of things, as you look at the ballot and how it may unfold this year going into the Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, last year was such an interesting case where Derek Jeter, of course, was there on his first ballot and just fell like one vote short of unanimous. And then at the other end of the spectrum was Larry Walker in his last chance and, you know, just got in, I think, 76, 77%. But it was, you know, great to see the former Rocky and it ended his career with the Cardinals. This year, there isn't anybody as obvious as Derek Jeter. Curt Schilling is the one who's probably closest. And Schilling realistically might have gotten in the Hall of Fame sooner if, you know, Schilling, based on Schilling the baseball player, Schilling the person is quite a controversial matter. But he'll likely get in. Clemens and Bonds have run neck and neck. They're right around 60%. And, you know, it's going to be touch and go as to whether they get in. And then you had the next tier down is kind of Omar Vizquel, who's obviously a great defensive shortstop for many years, and Scott Rolen. And Scott Rolen, I think, moved up about 10% last year, 15%. You know, one of the fastest risers. And the good news for Scott Rolen is this will only be his fourth year of the 10 allowable on the ballot. So I think Scott Rolen's going to get in, not in 2021, but maybe 2022, 2023. I think Scott Rolen's going to be, you know, right up there, among the Hall of Fame candidates. And I think that's great.
I do too. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Saw him in the prime of his career. Best third baseman defensively I've ever seen. And, you know, Ted Simmons said, hey, bloggers, writers to an extent, but those that really get into saber metrics, they were the ones that helped me. The analytic guys got me in. And I think if you look at Scott Rolen and you start breaking down what he did defensively, analytically, and with a younger group of voters coming in, taking a harder look at that type of player through those lenses, I think Scott Rolen moves up, and I think he'll be a Hall of Famer. I really do.
Yeah, that definitely helps him. And I've had friends talk to me about, you know, about Rolen because of the shortness of his career. But if you look at the body, and there's no doubt, you know, his shoulder injury hurt him, or, you know, he might have been thought up there alongside the types of like Brooke Robinson and Mike Schmidt, obviously not quite the same power as Schmidt, but, you know, the greatest third baseman who were able to play 20 years, where Rolen only had, you know, what, 12 or so, you know, peak years. But Scott Rolen was such a force offensively and defensively as well, and he, you know, certainly checks the boxes in terms of playing with you know, high-quality teams. So I think, and the measurements, of course, you know, and as you mentioned, showed his strength defensively, which is much more difficult to measure than, you know, the simple things, how many home runs did he hit, you know, how many RBI did he have. So, but again, I the voters are definitely recognizing it. And I think it also helps that when you look at the guys coming on to the ballot this year, there aren't any surefire guys. There aren't any Jeters. There aren't any Mariano Riveras. There probably aren't any guys really coming in this year that are ever going to make it, to be honest. So that means the guys who are incumbent candidates, you know, will get a little boost.
Yeah, and then the steroid guys are going to be off the ballot here in a couple of years, and then it's going to open it up, and there's going to be that gap that he will get more the majority of the votes. Now, I want to ask you, I had a visit with Paul DeJong, great visit with him, feeling healthy, feeling good, getting ready to train and go down to Jupiter and work in the complex, by the way, as long as there's limited numbers there and they're able to do that and work out with Jose Oquendo. He's hopeful that he can do that. I'm curious what you think about the middle infield right now, the Cardinals, whether it be at the major league level or even the depth in the minor leagues. Where you know, no Colton Wong now. So where is the depth right now with the Cardinals up the middle at second base and at shortstop?
Well, you definitely hit a soft area, Dan. You mentioned Colton Wong leaving. Brad Miller left as well. So there's, you know, two guys out of your middle infield. And then Matt Schrock was the Cardinals tried to slip him through waivers to use his 40-man roster spot on another player. They lost him as well. So there's three players, you know, out of your middle infield, either at St. Louis or at Memphis, who, know, who are gone. And so what you've got left is Edmundo Sosa, who's a guy that we, you know, completely forgot about in 2020. He was down in the alternate camp. He's on the 40-man roster, but he was one of the cases who reportedly, you know, struggled a little more due to COVID. And so he never got a look in St. Louis in 2020, but he's a guy who's out of minor league options. And so in 2021, he'll be sort of like Ronel Ravelo was in 2020. He has to make the major league team, or they have to either put him through waivers or make him available, you know, make him available to another team. So chances are good that Sosa will be the guy that will come into camp, again, assuming they don't sign anybody, that is, you know, going to be the lead for the utility infield spot. But to answer your question, you know, who's the next star coming up through the minor league system in the middle infield? There isn't really anybody. Whether you're talking second base or shortstop, Delvin Perez was a great hope. You know, he's never played a game above Class A yet. He hasn't even played High A. He's already been around so long. He's exposed to in the Rule 5 draft in December. Although he won't be taken by another organization. Then you probably have to go all the way down to a shortstop who played in Johnson City this last year. Well, actually in 2019. And here I'm talking about Heel. Benji Heel, G-I-L is how he spells his last name. His dad was a former major league shortstop. And Benji, but I mean, he's, you know, multiple years away from the major leagues. He's one of the players who is playing this winter in Mexico, trying to build his skills. And, you know, he's going to be certainly a guy that will probably play shortstop, I would think, in Class A in 2020.
Ronel Ravelo, John Nagowski, Sosa, Heel, some others are playing winter ball. Are they able to get through this, Brian, right now with COVID-19, or is that starting to strike some of the winter ball areas?
Yeah, it's interesting. The first league that started up, typically the four big leagues are in the Dominican, Mexico, Puerto Rico, and Venezuela. And so far, Mexico started up back in October. And there's a few guys there, although they're typically the lesser named guys. Heel is the big guy, big player there. And he's, you know, he's just 20 years old. And so he's still a young guy and he wants to get that experience. But then the Dominican started up a few weeks ago, and there, as you mentioned, there are four Cardinals on one team, Aguilas, the Eagles, and that is Ravelo, Nagowski, as well as Edmundo Sosa, who we talked about before, and Julio Rodriguez is also in that league, who's a young catcher, who is a guy who's expected to be a depth guy, probably at Triple-A this year. So, but the challenge is, and they've been playing and all, but two teams, not the teams that the Cardinals are on, have both had COVID outbreaks, and we're talking about one team that had 13 players and another team that had 10 players. So, you know, that's going to potentially affect their schedule, but you know, they've got to do what they can to make sure that it doesn't spread, or that will, you know, shut down winter ball just like it did MLB this summer.
Absolutely. In terms of the Cardinals 40-man roster, there's been a little bit maneuvering with that, and that is big. You know, when you think about Rule 5 and you think about December 2nd, which is going to be a big day in this offseason when guys get tendered or non-tendered with their contracts with various teams, it could flood the free agent market. So where are the Cardinals right now with their 40-man and some of the decisions that they made recently?
Well, yeah, the first thing is at the end of the season, all the players that were on the 45-day injured list, the long-term injured list, had to come back onto the major league roster. So those are the guys like Hudson and John Brebbie and all, you know, Jordan Hicks, who didn't play. They sort of get a roster deferment sort of during the season, but then in the winter they have to come back on the 40-man. But then all the free agents left, so Wong and Wainwright and Molina and Wieters, Brad Miller, they all came off the roster. But in order to make more room, the Cardinals also took Nabil Chrismat, who pitched in relief this year, Rob Kaminsky, the lefty, and then Schrock, as I mentioned. They all came off the roster. So that left the Cardinals, when you did all the plus and minuses, the Cardinals were at 37. So that they came up, that brought them up to the Rule 5 protection date, which was the 20th, last Friday. And all organizations across Major League Baseball had to take prospects who have typically been, who have been through at least five minor league seasons. They are eligible to be taken by other teams unless they're placed on in the Rule 5 draft, unless they're placed on the 40-man roster. So for the Cardinals, it was a pretty easy pair of decisions in that they had a couple prospects who were in their top 10, at least according to our rankings, who they added to the 40-man roster. And I'm talking about catcher Ivan Herrera and right-handed pitcher Angel Rondon. So those guys are now on the 40-man, so they can't be lost in the Rule 5, and the Cardinals are at 39. What that means is that the Cardinals can go into the Rule 5 draft, which will be held a week from, I guess, December 10th, The Cardinals will be able to go into that draft and potentially take one player from another team if they so choose. They wouldn't have to, but then they could also use, of course, that 40-man roster spot potentially on a free agent player like Yadier Molina or Adam Wainwright or Joe Smith. But if they want to sign both Wainwright and Molina, they're going to have to clear another man off the roster at some point in time this winter. So there's more roster changes ahead.
You know, when people hear the 40-man and a guy gets put on it, they're kind of like, oh, okay. Because I think the casual fan, the baseball fan, you look at the 25 or whatever it's going to be, the 26 or the 28-man roster, and that's your guy that you watch that night. You know, that's your team. But the 40-man roster can be a life-changing thing for a minor league player. I mean, it's a big deal to get on that 40-man roster. I mean, I've talked to a number of guys saying, you know what that means? I don't have to get an off-season job. I might actually make some money now. So it's a big deal to go on the 40-man roster.
Absolutely. And included in that, incumbent in that, is an invitation to Major League Spring Training Camp.
That's right.
You know, when you're on a 40-man roster, you're now in the big leagues, or you're one step away from it. And what it also means, though, is that a player's clock is ticking, because once a player's on a 40-man roster, he only gets 3 seasons where he can go back and forth between the minor league and the majors. So, for example, in the case of Edmundo Sosa, who we were talking about, he's out of those 3 years now. So he's done. The Cardinals can't just easily send him back to Memphis to start the 2021 season. So in those 3 years, those players, same with Justin Williams, who the Cardinals, you know, as you know, acquired a couple of years ago. So these guys have to now, they're at the end of the runway. They have to prove they're either major leaguers or they're going to lose their spot on the 40-man roster and potentially, you know, get picked up by another organization and leave the Cardinals. So there's this underlying, you know, theme. Not only do you have the new young guys, the hard chargers like Rondon and Herrera, who are going to be in their first camp as 40-man rosters, you got the guys like Sosa and Williams who realize, hey, this is my last chance to make a huge impression in spring training. You know, I've got to make this team.
I'll wrap it up with this, Brian. I'm enjoying the top prospect countdown. I get into it. I love it. So you're working on that. What are some of the other things you're working on at thecardinalnation.com?
Well, I've been working on a Rule 5 history to go back and talk about some of the great players who the Cardinals have lost in the Rule 5, as well as some of the players that they've picked up in the Rule 5 and what that's meant to the organization. A lot of times the players are guys that you never hear of, but even in the minor league phase, which is the next level down in Rule 5, there are players periodically who are picked up who contributed in the major leagues, and I'm talking about John Brebbia, for example. You know, who was a minor league Rule 5 selection by the Cardinals back in 2015. So there's an interesting history there, and I think this year, given the financial pressures on the major league clubs, that this Rule 5 draft is going to be looked at as another way to sort of cheaply
yep.
restock rosters.
Agreed.
That maybe didn't get as much attention before, but will this year.
Hey, great stuff as always, Brian. We'll catch up next Wednesday and have a safe, happy Thanksgiving tomorrow with you and yours, and appreciate you always doing this. Thanks so much.
Talk to you again next week.